I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the SyrupCast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and across the table from me, actually beside me this week, is Brad change. Bennett, a man who refers to himself as the bad boy of tech, but that I call Mobile Syrup's teen correspondent. Today, this is the Brad Show. I'm taking a back seat as he navigates us through a conversation surrounding the Galaxy S20, the S20 Plus, and the S20 Ultra.
Thanks. So since last week, John, who is also here, John Lamont.
Hello, how's it going?
Who you may have recognized from podcast past. Dean, another recurring guest here as well.
Hello.
So across Pat, John, and Dean, each one of them has been using a Galaxy S20 device, and today we're going to sort of break down the similarities and the differences between the phones, and then sort of whether or not they're worth buying for Canadians, sort of like a review of sorts, but a more of a discussion, I guess.
And each one of us is reviewing one of the phones as well, right? So I'm doing the Ultra, Dean's doing the S20 Plus, and John's doing the regular S20.
The good old S20.
And by the time this is up, I think all those reviews should be on the site as well.
Yeah, it'll all sort of come in one S20 wave. Get ready. Before we get into that, though, we're not going to do a full hottest news of the week section, but I'm just going to throw out some headlines of some things that are on the site so that are doing well right now, and you guys can check them out. So today, Spotify put out Duo plans, which is like a family plan, but it costs $13 instead of $15 or $16, and it's only for two people. Good stuff. Good on you, Spotify. There was a Pixel feature drop yesterday that includes a new motion sense gesture to pause and play your Google Pixel audio on your Google Pixel 4 and scheduling dark mode to come on with the sunset. Bell and Telus are still offering 20 gigabyte unlimited plans for $85. We've got a review of the Galaxy Buds on the site.
You wrote it.
I did. I did write it, and I'm a big fan. They're good. We are not going to talk about those a lot this podcast, but it's worth checking out if you're looking for a pair of wireless headphones.
Burn your AirPods Pro and buy Galaxy Buds Plus.
Yeah, save yourself $100 and some. The Surface Duo might come out in the summer instead of the holiday season. Kind of an interesting story, but who knows if it's real. And then there's a last but not least, a couple of Huawei features, including a hands-on with the foldable Mate XS and a review of the company's latest smartwatch, which is called, Dean?
The Galaxy Watch GT 2.
No, it's not called the Galaxy Watch.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's not called the Galaxy Watch.
All you're thinking about is Samsung.
Yeah, the Huawei Watch GT 2.
Cool. And yeah, all those are on the site.
It truly wouldn't surprise me if Huawei released a watch called the Galaxy Watch.
Yeah, when I said it's not called the Galaxy Watch, there was a part of my brain going, maybe it is.
Yeah, I was not 100% sure.
All right, but yeah, then let's. Are you guys ready to get into the S20? I'm sure you guys are ready to talk about it.
Let's ride the S20 wave.
I was born ready.
Wow. All right. So the first question is kind of more geared towards John and Dean, but what are the differences between the S20 and the S20 Plus? Because those two are more similar than the Ultra.
I think the primary difference is the display size. So the S20 Plus has a bigger 6.7-inch display compared to the 6.2-inch on the Galaxy S20. The other difference is colors. The S20 comes in Cosmic Gray and Cloud Blue. The S20 Plus comes in Cosmic Black and Cloud Blue. And the S20 Plus has a bigger battery. I think that is the main things.
There's also a extra camera on the S20 Plus.
Time of flight sensor,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. It's a depth sensor. Okay. I think other than that, that is it. Yeah,
those are the main differences there.
What about the price difference?
There is about a $260 price difference between the two.
And that's Canadian dollars.
$260 Canadian dollars. Yeah.
260 loonies. All right. That's actually a pretty big difference.
Yeah, it's quite significant. Yeah. I was looking at it today because I'm writing my review, and I was just like, oh, This is a little bit more than I thought it would be. But, yeah.
Are they usually that big, you know, between like the iPhone 11 and the iPhone 11 Pro? Is it $250 difference, or is it less? Does anyone know?
I don't know the prices offhand.
It's probably close.
I think between the iPhone 11 and the iPhone 11 Pro, there's about a $250 to $300 difference.
Okay, so this is about par for the course, except for the fact that the S20 and S20 Plus are still costing more than the iPhones generally do.
I'm looking up the price right now. Awesome. I'm going to give you the news you crave. But so the 11 Pro, internet's not loading. This is good podcast.
All right.
A visual. Here we go. So the iPhone 11 Pro starts at $1,379.
And I think the iPhone 11 is like $979 or something?
Just waiting for it to load.
Yeah.
So close.
So that's actually a bigger difference than
the Galaxy S20.
$979 is the iPhone 11.
Yeah. The Galaxy S20 is $1,319. So it's a little bit cheaper than the 11 Pro, but it's still more than the regular iPhone 11.
If you compare it to past years, when the S10 Plus came out, it was $1,419. Mm-hmm. But when S10 Plus, that was $1,419, and the S10 was $1,259. I'm not that good at math to calculate that difference, but it's definitely less than.
You're always telling me you're good at math.
No, I can't do it that quickly. I know it's less than $200.
I'm disappointed in you.
Okay, so far. What we've learned, these two phones very similar. One's a little bigger, one's a little smaller. One has a time of flight sensor, and the difference between them is about $250. I think those are the points we need going forward.
Yeah, those are the big things, the important pieces.
All right. What about those two phones compared to the Ultra, Pat?
The Ultra is gigantic.
Wow.
That's the biggest difference.
You could build a house out of it.
There's a few things. It's really big. The display is 6.9 inches, which surpasses even the iPhone 11 Pro Max, which is ridiculous.
That display isn't actually that big.
6.9?
No, the Pro Max is only 6.5.
I live in an Apple world. That's the only phone I have to compare here. No other phone exists.
Yeah.
What's another Android phone that's like above 6.5?
Note 10.
The S20 Plus, the OnePlus 7 Pro.
The Note 10 is the only one that
Note
I could think of.
Note 10 is 6.8, okay. Yeah.
What's the Pixel 4 XL, 6.3?
Yeah, something
6.4. Smaller than the Pro Max. Smaller,
yeah, a little sure. Bit.
Yeah.
The big takeaway for me is that it's big. It's a big boy. I think that it's probably a little too big for my taste, and I like larger phones. The screen is great. It looks really, really awesome. But sort of the big difference here is the cameras. You have 108 megapixel wide, the main shooters, the 108
yeah,
megapixel one.
Yeah.
And then you also have 100 times space zoom, which is done by a combination of all three lenses. And it looks absolutely, positively horrible, and no one should ever post a 100 times space zoom photo anywhere.
Well, actually, I think what I'm more interested in, and this is a little bit off topic, but I guess it fits in, but so 30 times zoom is how far you guys can zoom, right? On
yeah.
the S20
yeah.
and
so the S20 Plus? And the S20 Plus have 30 times zoom, and that's a mix of optical. I think the sensor or the lens can do up to 3 times optical zoom, and yeah. then it's some digital zoom and other software trickery going on.
So the Ultra goes up to, I believe, 10 times with a mix between optical and digital before it goes...
It's just 10 times optical.
No, it's a mix. 100% sure. It's a mix, and then it goes to 4 times, I believe, with just optical.
That sounds right. Yeah. I had the 4X in my...
Because 10 times with just optical would be absolutely... That would be sick. I wish that was true.
Yeah, that would be absolutely insane. That would be really cool.
But what I was getting at is it would be interesting to do a 30 times on the S20 and S20 Plus versus the 30 times on the S20 Ultra, because then it would be interesting to see if all this extra camera technology truly does make a difference over what those offer.
I think it would likely look very similar. I think for me, the 100 times zoom is really neat. Like, it's cool yeah. that a phone's capable of doing it. But I wasn't joking before. Like, when you take a picture with 100 times zoom, it looks like a watercolor painting. Right?
Without a tripod, it's almost impossible.
Even with a tripod, yeah. it looks brutal. There's a sweet spot. And to me, with at least, like, I haven't used the other two phones, the S20 or the S20 Plus. To me, the sweet spot was 10 times mm-hmm. under really good lighting, it would look great. And that's impressive.
Yeah.
Even the 4 times optical is really great. Mm. And that it was impressive as well. And then I guess the only other thing with the camera that's really, really worth mentioning is the 108 megapixel sensor, which is this massive, huge sensor. It reminds me of like a couple of years ago, probably over 5 years ago, when it was like a race with every manufacturer to have like bigger megapixels, because yeah, that's what consumers thought resulted in better pictures, was the more megapixels you have.
I think consumers still think that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like a marketing thing.
Yeah.
And I admittedly, like, the whole 108 megapixel thing is very complicated. Dean and I were talking about it last night trying to prepare for the pod. Mm-hmm. And I think I sort of understand what's going on, but I think from a broader perspective, as a user of the phone, the thing that people need to know is that you have to turn on the 108 megapixel sensor to take just 108 megapixel photos.
I think that's kind of a recurring theme about a lot of these like high-end features on the Ultra and the S20 regular phones.
Yeah,
The S20 and the S20 Plus both have 64 megapixel sensors, I believe, in the telephoto lens. Yeah. But you have to go into the settings and turn that on. The all three phones have 8K video recording, but again, you have to go into the settings and turn that on. There's all these extra nice camera features that are like, wow, that's really impressive that that's in a phone, but they're not on by default. You have to go and find them.
Do you think it says something that Samsung markets these phones based upon these features, but then has them turned off by default?
It's kind of weird. It's kind of like the 120 hertz display. It's also off by default.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. That's off. There was something else. I can't think of it on the top of my head.
I'm always
the full HD or the Ultra HD thing.
Oh, yeah, that's Ultra usually off. That's just been off.
It's for always been off
years, which is kind of weird.
I think they do that for saving battery life.
It does save battery life for sure.
Yeah, just on that. Sorry, the one thing that I've noticed is some of these features do have an impact on battery life or quality. Like in my brief testing with the 8K footage, yeah, it's impressive that you can record 8K. It's ultimately pretty gimmicky and useless because the footage itself looks fine, but it's not the best footage that you can get with the phone. The 4K at 60 frames per second, looks way better. It's way smoother, and it's also got stabilization, which you don't get with the 8K footage. So it just looks better in general. And with the 120 hertz, you do get battery savings, right? So I think Samsung kind of goes, we know a lot of people are going to buy these phones and just leave everything at the default settings. So let's optimize it so that they get the best experience with the best battery life, the best features that they're going to get when they take the pictures with the camera and stuff like that. Because we know that people aren't going to go and change those settings unless they really care about them.
Yeah.
Can I just jump back to the zoom for a second? Ultra, anywhere from four times to 10 times zoom is hybrid, which is actually not as even good as Huawei's P30, which has...
What is it cap out for hybrid?
It caps out 10 as well, but 10? It has a 5 times optical five. Zoom. That's something
that's
probably
pretty close,
worth
though.
To... Yeah, it's pretty close, but I think it'd be worth comparing. This whole time, I thought it was 10 times optical by itself, which in my head was like, this...
You'd think it would because it has that crazy periscope
times.
Thing that they're hyping up,
exactly,
right?
And Huawei's digital only caps out at like 50 times zoom, so I think it'd be worth comparing those zoom cameras to see which one is actually good or not.
What's interesting, too, is when you open the camera and you zoom, it instantly goes to 5 times. Even though that's not the limit of optical, like 5 times is a mix of you can't really see the difference. It still looks good, but if you know the specs, you know that it's not completely optical. It's like a mix of the two.
Is that maybe a comparison? Because Huawei automatically goes to 5 times as well, and
it could be because of Huawei.
Yeah, they're just trying to sort of fake their way to 5. Yeah. If it works, it looks good enough. Because I'm assuming as hybrid as it is, it's probably relying more on the optical at that point.
There's so many things that with the Ultra in particular, to me, seem almost like a return to gimmicks for Samsung, like the gimmicks that we used to see.
100%, yeah.
Wait, before we get into all these gimmicks and stuff, let's just round out this first Ultra differences. So we know it's bigger, we know it's heavier, we've talked about the camera differences. What about the price?
It's very, very, very expensive. It kind of follows the line of other super high-end phones over the last couple of years.
But is there anything that's this pricey? What's the Note?
If you max out the Note, it would have been around this price, I'm pretty sure.
I think roughly. So it starts at $1,849 for the 12 gig, 128 gig Ultra.
But what is that with tax? That's definitely $2,000, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But if you max out the Note, it has 512 gigs of storage at least. So
I think the Note could do a terabyte.
Yeah.
At least you get that.
Yeah, that's true.
The other thing that I would like to point out is it's just shy of $200 more than the S20 Plus. So
$270 to be exact.
Yeah, there we go. I didn't want to do the exact math, but Dean came through for us this time.
I think that you're going to see more manufacturers pricing their phones in this range.
Do we think this 100%. Price? We talked about this before, so we'll just once. This is the only time we'll talk about it today. Is this because of 5G?
Well, they're going to justify it with 5G. I don't know if it's like
real
and worthy because we live in Canada and there's no 5G yet. And by the time 5G is available, there will be better, faster phones out there.
The best way to answer this question would be to find out what the price of the non-5G S20 is, because they do have non-5G models of all three phones.
But not here.
Yeah. Not in Canada. Yeah. So that would be the thing. If the non-5G versions are cheaper, then yeah. But also, there's a good chance that they could have just priced everything the same regardless.
To hide it, to cover it up. That makes sense.
I definitely would think that 5G has a factor in the pricing, but I can't imagine that it's that much more.
Okay. I think the last sort of comparison point that like is the real tentpole is the battery. So the S20 Ultra has a huge battery, 5,000 milliamp hour battery. Do any other phones have 5,000 milliamp hour batteries?
Zenfone 6 has 5,000.
Zenfone 6.
Yeah.
The battery life was great. I never turned 120 hertz off. Like when I got the phone, turned it on right away. I never tried it yet at the highest resolution, so I don't know how that would affect battery life. But I'm getting the entire day. Sometimes I forget to charge the phone, leave it in my backpack, still charge the next day. I've had absolutely no issues with battery life. It's been really, really good, especially if you compare it to something like the Pixel 4 XL. Like it's night and day. It's That's so much true. Better.
Actually, you guys both came from Pixel 4 XLs to these new Samsung phones. Am I correct?
Yeah.
More or less, at least?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How do you feel about the battery life comparison between that as these like Google versus Samsung zones?
So you go first, Dean.
So I'm using the S20 Plus, and I had the 4 XL before, the Pixel 4 XL. With the S20 Plus, I literally never worry about battery life ever.
Yeah.
I was checking it out today, and I have around like 6.5 hours of screen on time with the 120 hertz display on. Sometimes I get a little less because I was fooling around with the battery and put on the highest quality, highest resolution display. But with the Pixel, I think I was getting around like 4 hours of screen on time. Literally, the S20 Plus, its battery is very reliable. I think that's like the key word for it. Like, I don't worry about it. I don't think about charging it until I get home. Sometimes I forget to charge it at night, and I just charge it when I get to work because it's still alive.
So like it's good.
It's 145 right now, and I'm at 89%, and I've been using this as my main phone today. Yeah. So, like, that's impressive to me.
Yeah, I would echo that sentiment that it's reliable. Coming from the Pixel 4, which, I don't know, has like a 2,800 or 2,900 milliamp hour battery, to the 4,000 milliamp hours in the S20 is in and of itself a pretty significant leap. But yeah, I just haven't had to worry about the battery. Even though I use 120 hertz, I leave that on all the time, which should hit the battery pretty hard. I've never had to worry. I've never not made it to the end of the day without needing to recharge the phone.
What's your battery percentage at right now? Do you have your phone on you?
I do, but I haven't been using it as my daily driver today. Wouldn't be inaccurate.
What about you, Dean? Do you have the ability to give this to us?
So I left it on last night and didn't charge it till I got to work at like 11. So yeah, it's pretty charged up.
Fair enough. Wait, before we get into about the battery and the 120 hertz display, we've seen other phones with high refresh rate displays turn it off within specific apps, right? Does Samsung do that? So if you were, you know, you got 120 hertz on, but you're basically spending all your time on Instagram, it doesn't support it, if that's the case. This is hypothetical.
Yes and no. So there are some apps where Samsung turns it off, and those are apps where it's already capped or where there's performance issues. For example, I think Google Maps is one of the apps that they haven't turned off, just because there's all kinds of weird performance issues. And it was the same thing with the Pixel 4. Yeah. It turned off its high refresh rate in Google Maps. I think Pokemon Go is another one because they cap that game at 30 FPS. That's a Niantic cap, not a Google cap.
It's a hardcore gamer cap.
Yeah, it's a really disappointing cap in general. But yeah, there's certain circumstances where apps are either specifically capped for performance issues, and so there's no point running the higher refresh screen in those apps. But like other apps like Instagram or Twitter, as far as I know, there's no... specific thing that developers need to do to support it. It's just refreshing the screen more often. So,
fair enough.
I use the ROG Phone 2, which also had a 120 hertz refresh rate, and it works the exact same. Like, it doesn't matter which app, it doesn't matter what you're doing with it, or it doesn't matter which app, but like, you barely ever notice it. I don't think I've seen my refresh rate go down at all. I don't really use Google Maps often, or Pokemon Go. I don't have it downloaded at all.
Look at Dean, knows his way around the city. What a guy. The next question on my list is, if each of you could pick one thing about the phone that you love and for you would be worth upgrading because of, what would it be? And we'll go Pat, John, Dean, we'll go around the table.
I like the 10 times hybrid.
You think the Zoom?
Digital, like Zoom. I find that very useful. Like, there's other things that are cool. I do think that the 108 megapixel shooter is interesting, mm-hmm. in the fact that you can crop a lot from those massive, massive images. There's things that suck about them, like you don't get as much light when you have that camera mode turned on. Not as much light hits the sensor. You lose a bit of focus as well. Like, photos don't look as sharp. So that one I'm a little more iffy on, but I do think that it's really cool, and I'm glad that there's a phone that exists that features that.
Like the Zoom or the 108 megapixel?
The Zoom, 100%. The 108 megapixel.
Like 90%?
Maybe 75%.
75%? Okay.
I've used it quite a bit, and I think the thing for me is I don't know if I would ever use that feature without feeling the need to test it for a review. Like, would I ever run into circumstances just taking pictures of my cat or a tree or all the stuff that I post on my Instagram account where I would want to use that feature? And I would need to use the phone for a much longer period of time to really answer that question. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm kind of on the fence about that. But the Zoom, 100%, it's sick. It's great. It's one of the first times that I've ever used a smartphone camera where I'm not afraid of zooming. Like, you could even push it to 20 in some cases and it still looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a smartphone camera before where I haven't been really worried about pushing past the optical into the digital or the hybrid, and this is the first time.
There's something to be said. I mean, I took the Huawei P30 on vacation with the Zoom, and it was like my main camera because it had more zoom than my camera I use for work, like my mirrorless. And yeah, it was just like super handy to only have to carry around one little phone and it kind of be like this really fantastic tool.
Super useful.
John, you're using the S20. What makes you pick it up every morning and smile?
120 hertz, hands down. There is no competition there. That for me, the last few years, like testing phones all the time, I've found that going from a year old phone to a new version of that phone, there's rarely been something that actually makes it feel different, right? Like, their phone processors are so fast these days that there's not a huge difference between a year old phone and a new phone. Maybe if you wait 2 or 3 years before you upgrade your phone, you'll feel it more.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone who switches phones often all the time, I don't feel that. 120 hertz refresh rate actually made this phone feel faster than any other phone that I've used in a long time. And that was, for me, the most impressive thing, because there wasn't anything that is actually substantially different. The phone just feels so much more fluid and so much faster and so much smoother to use, and it's just way better.
Is part of that the 240 touch as well? The 240 hertz touch?
I think so. 240
touch points, 240.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 240 hertz sample rate.
Sample rate.
Yeah. Which basically just means that the phone checks for touch input 240 times a second. And that's active whether you're using 60 hertz or 120 hertz refresh rate. I didn't really
notice. Oh, so it's active all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
No, there's one stipulation. It's 120 hertz, I think, all the time. But if you're gaming, it's 240 hertz.
Ah, interesting.
So it pumps it up for gaming, but the rest of the time, it's always 120 hertz, even if you're using the 60 hertz refresh rate.
But even then, at the root of this, is this something you felt like, is the touch refresh rate something you felt like you noticed, or just the screen refresh rate?
It definitely the screen refresh rate, because coming from the Pixel 4, which has a 90 hertz refresh rate,
yeah,
I didn't notice a huge difference between 90 hertz refresh and 120 hertz refresh. But as far as I know, the Pixel 4 just has a 60 hertz touch sample rate, and so I didn't notice that touching the phone felt any different there. I'm sure there is a difference. It wasn't one that I noticed. It was the visual quality that was more noticeable to me.
I get what you're saying with that one. Like, when I did the OnePlus 7T coming over the previous OnePlus phones, it had the 90 hertz refresh rate, but it also had well improved haptics. And that small feature of just like, but it makes how you interact with the phone feel different than it did previously. And it's like, oh, this actually, maybe this is worth an upgrade because now it feels, or when I interact with it, it feels better than it did before.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, the S20 has much improved haptics over the S10 line. So that's a really big thing as well, but not enough of a big thing that I would say it's worth an upgrade.
Dean, you're shaking your head, and we've had haptic disagreements before. You don't find the haptics very good on the Samsung phones?
I don't find them very good on the OnePlus phones.
But you were shaking your head about John saying they're improved on the S20.
Personally, for me, I use the Note 10 Plus quite a bit, and I don't find the S20 Plus, at least, its haptics that much better. It's
good. Do you think they're good? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's good. I like them. I prefer them over OnePlus. I like them less than Google's.
Okay. But out of that, same question that I've asked everybody else, what's your favorite feature? What are you taking away from this?
It's really difficult for me because one of my last phones before I used the Pixel, and I also used the ROG Phone 2 recently, and that one also had 120 hertz and 240
touch sampling.
Yeah, right. So it was kind of a similar experience. I want to say that it's not something I really notice until I don't really notice this. This isn't like a feature you pick up your phone and you're like, hey, this is what I love. But I think the Snapdragon 865 and the 12 gig of RAM is helping a lot. I haven't had my phone crash on me once or a reset over in the night or any of that. It's just been pretty chill. I go scroll through all my apps, or most of my apps don't close by themselves either.
I saw this thing called app pinning that you could pin apps so they never close. Oh, is that real?
I have never tried it.
You open up multitasking and then there's a pin, and then you want Spotify to never close.
I haven't tried it because that's not something I ever want to do, but
or need to.
I mean, it's cool that it exists.
Keep open for quick launching. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I did not know that was a thing either. I knew for a long time Google phones had a screen pin where you could basically lock an app, so it was the only one that was accessible on the screen until you put in your password.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know why I'd ever want to use that. I haven't had an issue with phones closing my apps ever, really.
Yeah, maybe so. If you were trying to have a couple of high-level games going at one time. I don't know. You've got two PUBG lobbies loaded up somehow. I have no idea. But that's cool.
No, I just find that, at least for me, when I'm testing out phones, to see how many apps you can keep open at once just to check out its how it's using its RAM. And it seems like this phone seems the best, at least in my testing so far. And the 120 hertz, it is dope. If you're using a 6... Whenever I have to go back to 60 hertz reviewing another phone, I absolutely hate it now and wish that all companies just did 120 hertz or at least 90. 90 is not that hard. Google's doing it. If Google can do it, so can you.
And OnePlus is doing it. If OnePlus can do it.
So yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay, this question kind of goes out to everybody. Is there something about these phones you think Samsung's hyping up but probably isn't worth it? We kind of were touching on this with the S20 Ultra's camera, which I think is what prompted this question, but I'm curious if there's anything alongside the camera that you're they hyped it, I'm not using it, I don't think other people are going to be using it.
Can I jump on that one first?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Easy answer, 5G. It doesn't exist in Canada, and it's part of the marketing for the phone, in a major way.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've seen about these phones, number one or number two thing is 5G.
I think that's just its name. I think it's called S20 5G.
It's literally in the name. It's
the S20 5G. I refuse to have the 5G every time I write the name of the phone.
I've never written it with 5G in the name either.
I have not written it either. But yeah, it's just incredibly frustrating because 5G doesn't actually exist in any meaningful way in Canada.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's going to be hugely confusing for customers who are buying this phone thinking, oh, it says 5G, I'm getting 5G, and then they're not getting 5G. And I just I think it's going to be a problem at least until 5G is sort of up and running, at least somewhere in the country.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the number one hype thing that I think Samsung is really pushing with this phone that is not a thing.
Overhyped thing number one, 5G. Anything dethroning that?
I already said everything. It's about a lot of the Ultra's camera features. I think the camera is a significant improvement over the S10s, but mm-hmm. You push it past 20 times and it's going to look bad with the Ultra. Like saying that the camera features space zoom, 100 times space zoom, is borderline like lying to customers, because when you actually use that feature, the photos look so bad that like even someone who knows nothing about photography would not want to post that picture anywhere. Mm-hmm.
So, what do you got, team?
Literally just the Ultra, even that in the naming. Like, Pat, rate the Ultra right now. Go.
I'm not going to rate it. You got to read the review, which will be up by the time this comes out.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I have to sit down and write it. I have all my notes ready. My guess is that it's going to fall somewhere in, like, the range of 7, maybe 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, and for a phone that has the title Ultra in its name, you would expect at least a 8.5, maybe a 9.
Well, you would expect it to be the best of the three.
Exactly, and talking about it, both John and I really like our S20 versions, but Pat is just not a fan of it. It's big, it's ugly, it's cameras are not worth it, its price is not worth it. And this is just my opinion because I'm not reviewing the phone, but I think just calling this phone the Ultra, I think that's just misleading enough.
Do you think a better name was Galaxy S20 Overkill 5G?
100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Galaxy S20 too expensive. Like if this phone 5G. Yeah, 5G. If this phone didn't cost as much as it did and was more similarly priced to
the Plus, even
then maybe not. I would be more inclined to recommend it, but for that additional cost, I don't think the new features are worth it. And then there's like
maybe you had a giant hand. You're like, I finally need a phone that will fit into my giant hand.
Could be.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about it yet, but like there's also issues that only the Ultra experiences with the camera, like the focusing. What? For instance, I was at like this light exhibit thing that's at Ontario Place in Toronto 2 weeks ago on the weekend, taking photos at night, and I would try to focus on different things and the phone's camera just wouldn't be able to focus on anything. It would be jumping around. In some instances, it would automatically zoom in, which was crazy. Whether or not that was in relation to the screen protector that I had put on the phone, I don't know. Samsung doesn't know. They couldn't tell me.
Yeah.
I took the screen protector off, tried it again recently, and it seemed to be working okay, but I also haven't attempted to use the camera under extremely low light again. Mm. But to pay this much for a smartphone camera and then to have it focus extremely slowly, in some cases not be able to focus at all under low light, is pretty frustrating and unacceptable. Like Samsung says that they're releasing an update at some point in the future. We don't know when that update's coming. We don't know if it's going to be a day one update. We don't know if it's coming six months from now. So it's really, really hard to recommend someone buy this phone with all of the other things that we talked about on this podcast aside, because it has that camera issue. That's not a problem that like the S20 and the S20 Plus feature, to be clear. It's just an Ultra focusing issue, as far as I know. But still, like, I just couldn't recommend this phone to anyone.
There is a day one patch for all three phones.
But is it going to
But who knows that? What it has? Yeah, okay. Right? Like, they just say optimizations.
The other thing, too, is, like, I've been running about phones for a while. I've seen this happen before where there's issues with the camera just mainly issues with the camera before release. And then a company says like, don't worry, we're going to fix it. It's going to be fine. And then the update comes out and you're like, you didn't fix shit.
Cough, like, Pixel 2.
Like it still looks,
even the Pixel 3 the same. Or Pixel 4, true. The white all balancing. Them, all the pixels, man. Yeah. There's issues and patches and all the time. It's never ending. It's like this world we live in where you buy something and it's never quite finished. You're just constantly getting updates. So pretty much I think we've answered. You don't believe that?
No, that's just kind of sad and funny if you think about it. For phones, like, they're just always,
it's not even just phones, like video games,
for sure, like, yeah, compute, like,
but I mean,
yeah,
like
all tech, just like Sonos, phones are so like
expensive
that.
Now like you, this like your phone's more expensive than a laptop or any video game, and it has all these issues, and it's don't worry guys, like I'm sure Samsung is going to say something like that and it'll be ready eventually.
So I think I know the answer to this next question, but the camera. Samsung came for the camera crown with this S20 series. Did it succeed? No. Pat?
I think, so I was thinking about this last night. I think it's a significant improvement over the S10. I think the camera is doing really, really cool stuff, especially the Ultra, even with the issues.
100%.
There's a lot of fascinating stuff going on in the background that I won't get into because it's ridiculously technical and the average person doesn't really need to understand it. Nona binning, as Dean and I were talking
about. What is the word you're saying?
Nine binning.
Perfect. A regular word people know.
I have it written down to ensure that I could adequately explain it on the podcast.
Perfect.
It essentially creates one super pixel out of nine individual pixels.
Mm, classic. There's a comic book about that, isn't there? The super pixel?
That would be a sick comic.
Next phone?
I think...
Yeah, that's true.
They're doing lots of cool stuff, and the photos look better. But the thing that kind of negates all these advances in camera hardware is the fact that Samsung still processes its images in the exact same way that it has for a really, really long time.
You think it's the same? I thought that maybe it was a little different, but you're thinking had more time than me with it. So
they're slightly better, but still the issues that I've always had with Samsung photos. They still look super saturated. They're still somewhat
overexposed.
Like the highlights are always blown out. Especially if you look at them not on a Samsung phone. Like if you take a picture, you post it to Instagram, then you look at that same picture. I know Instagram
on your computer photos. Or something.
Yeah. You look at it on your computer, it's going to look really weird, especially if you look at it on an iPhone screen. That's one of the problems. I think Samsung still does a lot of over-sharpening. The same thing can be said about like the Ultra's front-facing camera. Like it's sick that a selfie camera exists. It's 40 megapixels. That's awesome. But by default, they still have skin smoothing on. So you don't capture any of that additional detail that a larger 40 megapixel sensor is going to offer. Yeah, it's just
painted out with software.
You're just like, your skin is lighter and it's smoothed over, so you don't see any of that detail.
Yeah, lighter is that key word for black people. If you're a black person listening to this podcast, keep that in mind.
I think what I've noticed with the camera, like Samsung did a really good job of throwing big numbers into the camera. Massive, 108 megapixel sensors, big zoom, like they have all these big impressive numbers, 8K video, but it doesn't add up to anything, right? Most people, when they use their smartphone camera, they pull the phone out of their pocket, they open the camera, they tap the button, and then they put it away, and that's it, right? They don't need all this extra stuff. And the fact that Pixel has repeatedly done really, really impressive stuff with their camera with less than impressive hardware, and the Pixel 4, in my opinion, has much better looking photos than what the S20 does. Like, people are still going to be happy with the S20. If you get an S20, you're going to take pictures with it and you're going to be like, wow, these pictures look great. But on the whole, I think the Pixel photos just look better, and it does so with significantly worse hardware. So,
go for it.
Dean, you can go.
To cut in, though, Samsung has done probably the best it's done with low light I've ever
used. Yeah, took a lot of night sight shots.
Yeah.
Right? Or night mode shots.
Super well. So I've used every flagship Samsung phone since the Note 8, and this one definitely does it the best. I did some night mode shots. They illuminate like the scene like really well, especially in comparison to like the Note 10 Plus, I think, and the S10 Plus. It's just, this does it on a whole another level.
Night sight wasn't great with those phones.
No. If you compare it to, say, Huawei's or Google's or Apple's, I think it's Apple's. I don't use Apple phones very often. But if you compare it to them, it's I wouldn't say that Samsung's are better, but they're comparable. I think it's in the running. It's in the runnings for that. It's actual a competitor for night mode shots, finally. It's taken it, Samsung, it's sweet time.
So maybe I should reframe this question. Let's not say there's a crown. Let's say there's a top league, let's pulling hockey into this. There's like OHL, AHL, NHL. You could be in the low tier, mid tier, high tier. And in the high tier, there are people who are better, but generally everyone is considered the best of the best. You think Samsung, assuming we already know Samsung's up there, but you think that this puts them that level squarely, they deserve to be there?
At least for night mode, and just normal pictures, I think it's finally there. It's definitely not the best team.
Yeah.
But I think I think it's finally there.
It'll make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like people are buying this phone, they're taking pictures, and generally they're happy. right? You think?
Yeah.
I think it was like that before, though, right?
Exactly.
Like,
that's, I was just
Samsung
say that.
Cameras have always taken pretty good pictures, in my mind anyways, but it's also always been behind Apple and Google, and in some cases even Huawei, which, like, I don't use Huawei devices that much, but I know, like, the P30 is supposed to be one of the best
but
cameras,
like,
out there.
That's only to us. Like, it's not, that's not a comment. That's not like a...
No, yeah.
Opinion, like a well-known or well...
The average person's going to be happy with this phone
exactly.
if they take pictures
you,
with it.
If you, take, yeah. if you look at MKHD's...
MKBHD.
Yeah. Marquez's...
the YouTuber whose name is a bunch of letters.
Yeah. If you look at Marquez's YouTube video about cameras, and the winner was the Note 10 Plus last year.
Part of that, I mean, you may say it, but part of that is because people think that better photos are always brighter photos.
Yes.
So if a photo is brighter, the average person thinks it's better, which is not always incorrect, but is often not true.
And I think with that in mind, like, people are going to like these pictures. People, they aren't better. They aren't the best at all. But people are going to like them. I think if you were to buy an S20 or an S20 Plus, or if you were to spend an arm and a leg for an Ultra, you will be happy with your shots.
Yeah, I want to be clear here that I don't think that by any stretch it's a bad camera. If you buy one of the S20s and you're taking photos with it, you're going to like the photos.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good camera. It's just not as good as what the numbers suggest that it could be.
100%. Okay, that's a good way of putting perfect, it, I think. Yeah. I think that's what we wanted.
For me, I'm just disappointed that Samsung did all this cool stuff on the hardware side that we've talked about, and the photos still, they look a little bit better than the Note 10 and the S10s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a little bit, but not the leap that these hardware advances, at least in my mind,
suggest
yeah. that it should be. Like, mm-hmm. for me, there's a huge jump between the iPhone XS and the 11. So much so that, like, I actually argued that those phones were worth buying because of the issues that the XS,
yeah, we've had that,
and the XR, you don't believe me,
I know.
The XR no. had in terms of their cameras. I don't think that that's the case with
here.
The S20. If you own an S10 and you're just a regular person with a phone, you take your phone out, you point it at your kids, you take a picture, you're not going to notice the change.
Although if you're own an S10 and you like to take pictures when you're at parties or clubs,
10 times zoom.
Well, a night, like, you might consider a camera with a better
night,
like, you better take pictures at night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or yeah.
If you're Batman and you live in the dark.
Yeah, exactly. Batman or a rave kid. Yeah, you're good.
Rave kid.
Yeah. There's two types of yeah. people that go out at night.
What yep. if you're Batman who is also a rave kid?
So this is one I think we can go through. A raving Batman. Wow. I don't want to get hung up on that. I'm trying not to.
I'm just picturing Batman with, like, glow sticks all over him.
Yeah. Just a utility belt full of glow sticks. Okay. Before we lose to topic, One UI 2.0. It's been out for a while, right? But, you know, you've been using it lately. Do you like it? Do you hate it?
Love it.
You love it?
Yeah.
I absolutely love it, yeah.
Wow. I said in my review, I think it's actually one of the best Android skins now, and in a lot of ways I prefer it to the stock, with quotations, Android that you find on the Pixel.
Huh, interesting.
I'm the same. I wrote an article last year about how much I love One UI, and I love it more. It's
wow.
just better.
Look at that.
It's fine.
Okay. All right.
I don't have any issues with it. The only Android devices I really use now are Samsung,
yeah.
which runs on One UI, and the Pixel, which isn't entirely stock Android. It's like
Pixel launcher.
It's yeah. it's Google-ified Android.
Sure. And the transition between those two is pretty seamless. Like, there are certain things where I was like, what the hell, I can't access this setting, but I figured it out in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, that would, my biggest complaint with One UI is just in a lot of areas it kind of throws a lot in people's face
for like no reason.
Yeah,
too.
Like, the quick settings toggle would be an ideal one on
that stuff.
Pixel
doesn't all need to be there.
Yeah, you swipe down to get your quick settings and there's like 9 options, and on the S10 or sorry the S20, any phone with One UI really, there's like 16 options on just the first page, and I'm like, half the stuff I'm like, I don't even know what this does, and I'm
They're
not gonna
like
hit
Samsung
it.
I'm looking to Samsung phone specific features.
I'm yeah. looking at it right now. There's one page, and you can swipe to the right, and there's like half a page of different settings.
Yeah,
and the other half is like, what are those things? What's that thing in the bottom left? Well, what is that?
Secure folder.
No, he's got
kids home. I don't even know what that is. Why does that need
yeah.
to be accessible?
Yeah. That is true.
I'm holding
holding the Pixel 4 and the S20 on this, like, in my hands, and one has 16, one has 12, or no, 9 quick settings. It's
It's not like a big thing. It's just that, like, for the average user, it's a lot. And, you know, if someone like me who uses phones every day and knows all the tech stuff feels overwhelmed and confused by all this stuff that the Samsung phones are just kind of throwing in my face, like, how much more confused is the average user going to be?
That's fair.
You can customize it, but not all people will know that right away or will see that or ever see that.
It's the same thing as cameras. Like, we keep using this phrase, but like, the average person who buys a Samsung phone isn't going to mess with most of the settings. They're going to use the phone as it comes, which in a way is kind of sad, because then they may never experience 120 hertz. But that's just the way that people use phones.
That'd be so sad.
No, it's true though. That's just the way people use phones. They buy them, and even in some cases, they don't install third-party apps, right?
Yeah.
They're going to use Samsung's email app and stuff like that.
Yeah, sometimes they don't even move stuff on the home screen. I saw somebody using...
stock home screen for life.
Yeah, I saw somebody using a Samsung phone the other day, and they still had like the pre-installed Kudo and Amazon apps on their home screen.
That's awesome. I see people with iPhones all the time with the iTunes store on their home screen. And it's like, I know you haven't bought anything from the iTunes store in like 10 years. Yeah, that app deserves to be on your home screen. It's crazy.
I have the App Store on my home screen.
Yeah, but the App Store you use all the time.
Yeah.
Well, isn't the iTunes app dead now? No, it's
no,
still there.
See what
iTunes
I mean?
Store.
And people have that on their home screen.
I'm opening it just to see
what's
in it.
It's where you buy movies and TV. Or music videos or songs. I don't even know. It doesn't matter.
You can still buy albums?
I guess so. Yeah. It's crazy. The last question I have relates to the S20. So these are review devices that you guys are using. Samsung's going to take them back. If they weren't, does this become your daily driver? Is it good enough to become your number one phone?
I'm actually planning on stealing this.
Wow.
So that it can become my number one phone.
Okay. That's big talk from Dean.
Just watching Pat's eyes roll back in his head.
I said it looking at Pat to see what he would do.
He's not going to actually do that.
But I absolutely would.
The fact that he would says a lot about
how good the phone
is.
I would use this as my daily driver. I love it. It's my favorite phone so far this year, which there hasn't been a lot of phones I've used this year.
But compared
to
every phone from last year, too.
Yeah, 100%.
John?
I mentioned earlier in the podcast that I don't have my SIM card in the S20. I actually moved it back into the Pixel 4 yesterday after I finished writing the first draft of my review. And the main reason for that was actually because of the Pixel feature drop, and I wanted to play around with some of the new features.
Yeah. Some cool stuff.
I don't really plan on moving it back into the Samsung phone. There's a lot of stuff that I really like about it, and in a lot of ways I do prefer it to the Pixel 4, but...
It's not the thing.
Yeah.
He's just sad because his is ugly and gray.
Yeah, that Dean. Dude, yeah. We should mention Dean got the beautiful club blue.
I like
and
the gray one.
Patton.
I have the black one, which I think is the ugliest.
Yeah. It is the worst. Yeah.
Well, you can probably guess what your answer is going to be, Pat. But you're still with this phone for the rest of your life.
I could not do that with the Ultra.
No.
I think if there was a device that was kind of a mix of what the Ultra offers and what the S20 Plus offers, I would be far more happier with that. I love the size of the S20 Plus. I've held Dean's a couple times, and the camera actually works the way it's supposed to. Those two factors, plus the beautiful screen, the 120 hertz, awesome, best display I've ever seen. Then take the 10 times optical digital and add that to the S20 Plus, and that is a phone that I could replace my iPhone with. I would be that happy with it. But unfortunately, that's not what Samsung has to offer this year.
Fair enough. I guess that's about it for the S20 series. Does anyone... Oh, wait. I have user questions. I totally forgot.
Do it.
I actually got user questions.
Really? Go for it.
I have three. So is a device that doesn't get timely updates worth $1,600 or whatever the phone costs? Basically, does the lack of updates make a phone obsolete? And that comes from roy.story.4 on Instagram.
For enthusiasts, 100%. Yeah. For a person who buys a Samsung device every 3 years, they don't care about updates.
But also sort of no. So there's kind of two things that I want to say on this. The first is that I think Samsung has gotten better in terms of updates, and they do release more frequent updates. There are still not as many as I would like, and they're sort of on board with like the monthly patches, but not really. They're like a couple months behind. I don't know. It's weird. So there's that aspect. Samsung has gotten a lot better, which is good. The flip side is I think that for someone who buys one phone every 3 or 4 years and doesn't upgrade them, it's more important to have a phone that gets updates all the time, because you're going to get those security updates on your phone that you're keeping for 4 years And that's much more important than getting a really high quality, high end, super powerful spec phone like the Samsung S20 that's not going to get as many updates and then might be a security issue in a couple years.
Fair enough. The next question comes from someone named at Calvin J. Tynes on Twitter, and it was how fast to quick charge the Ultra to 100%. And Phone Arena actually did this with the 25 watt charger and the 45 watt charger that I found. Like, I found the story that they wrote. Basically, both phones with the 25 and the 45 watt charger take the same amount of time to get to 100%.
What is that amount of time?
It's 30 minutes to charge 45. Both 59 minutes, so just under an hour for both phones to be charged to 100%.
That's pretty good.
The 45 watt charger will get you to 50% faster, but to 100, they both take the same amount of time.
Interesting.
And then the final question is, are we able to test the phones on Rogers 5G network? And the answer is no, right?
No, and I believe there will not be tests that even media will be able to participate in 2020. So,
yeah,
the 5G dream continues in Canada.
In the future.
At least.
It's a long con.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's it about the S20s.
Tell us about the Buds.
Oh, the Buds, yes.
The what I'm now referring to as the successor to Apple's AirPods Pro that the company updated and destroyed the noise cancellation.
Sound a little salty, Pat.
I'm very sad about.
The Buds are good. $200, which is cheaper than even the non-noise canceling AirPods. And they don't have noise canceling, but they stick in your ears pretty good and they block out a lot of sound. And there's this like passive adaptive sound mode that will let background noise filter in if you want it, or not let it filter in if you don't want it. And that sort of gives you like this fake noise canceling feeling, and they're pretty good, you know?
There's even an app on iOS too.
Yeah,
right?
There's an app on iOS, there's an app on Android. You basically go in, there's technically three different levels of noise canceling, adaptive ambient sound, blah, blah, blah type of zone. You can turn on a fourth level in like the lab section where they're like testing out features. It essentially just lets you hear the world around you or not. And they're good. They sound good. The battery life with the case is 22 hours. Without the case is 11 hours, which is super good. I mean,
that is crazy good.
It's like, I feel like I could get 2 to 3 days without the case. And then, the case is wireless charging. So I'm pretty much topping it up whenever I'm not using it. It's good. I like the Buds. I won't say too much more because we're running out of time. But seriously, if you're looking for a pair of wireless headphones, Samsung really did a good job this time around. And it's worth checking out, worth comparing, and definitely better than original AirPods. Yeah. And then what do you think? Do you want to do game of the week? Or what we're playing?
What we're playing? Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I'll start because I am playing nothing and that's all I have.
Great.
I'm playing Apex still. That's it. Like, I haven't had really time to play anything else. I'm waiting for Animal Crossing.
Yeah, soon though.
So I'm kind of saving myself for mid-March when that game drops.
What are we at? Like 17 days, 16 days? John, what do you got?
I'm playing Stardew Valley a lot. Thanks to both Pat and Brad Bennett here. They got me hooked on it and now I cannot stop playing it. And every hour that I am not at work, I am playing Stardew Valley.
So. And that happens.
We aren't playing it anymore. Or are you still playing it? I'm not playing it
at all. I haven't picked it up in about a week. I'm hesitant to say I'm not playing it because I want to, and I like that I get to come in and talk with John about it. But
a code just arrived today for a certain game. So
yeah,
I don't
right.
think you're going to be playing it anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not playing it for a long time.
I will keep the Stardew dream alive.
Keep
for
it.
All of us.
We can always come back in from a time from now and play again.
That's true.
Dean, what do you got? Playing anything?
Yeah, I've been playing over the weekend. I played the last trial thing for Neo 2. It was crazy fun. I'm also going to review it when I can, and I'll have a lot of fun doing that too. And I've also been playing Dreams last night. Dreams is a game that's basically like lets people do whatever the crap they want in this game. It's crazy as playing PT.
You make your own game within a game.
Yeah. As playing the PT version of Dreams on it last night, because someone decided they're going to remake PT, and I still screamed. I already played PT before, and I still screamed because it's still scary, and I was really impressed by it.
Cool. It's like Mario Maker, but for big boys and girls.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Adults can play Mario Maker.
I know. I actually love Mario Maker, but I just...
That was an excellent description.
Like, thank you. 50 listeners just cried out in agony because you made fun of them.
No, I love Nintendo. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I'm
but
also...
But it's for babies.
I'm also not really playing anything at the moment. I'm about to. But lately, I started watching Survivor again, and that's been my life. So, Survivor's ready. Survivor's go.
You've made me consider watching Survivor, but I don't think I can do it.
I can't believe you didn't. You sent me the screenshot. You're like, I'm almost doing it. And I was like, oh my God, he's in. And yeah, then you just never did
you,
it.
You pressured me into Stardew. You won't get me to watch Survivor.
Yeah, there's no way in hell I'm watching that.
This is the best reaction.
Okay, you're alone on this island.
So that's a good place to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. Be sure to drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. By the time this show is live, all of our S20 reviews will have hit the site. You'll be able to see if I really do give the Ultra a 7 or a 7.5, or if I have changed my mind in the next 72 hours. Dean was going to say something, but then he didn't. He's still leaning forwards. He's done.
Yeah, I'm done.
You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_O'Rourke, and of course on mobilesyrup.com. Brad, where can people find you?
As always, you can find me everywhere at The Brad Fad.
Dean, where can everyone find you?
At The Daily Dean.
And of course, John, where can everyone find you?
At John_Lamont, and that's John with no H.
And if you're interested in following Mobile Syrup, obviously all of our content is on mobilesyrup.com, and you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Mobile Syrup. Bennett manages our Instagram page and always has some lovely hot photos posted there. So
I try. Managing Instagram is harder than anyone would ever give it credit for, but I try.
Every social media manager is just like crying.
Yeah, right feeling now. Validated? Like, I hope so. I feel yeah, they're validated. Just for saying it.
All right, that's it. Thanks for listening.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.